You are listening to a sermon by Lauren Bielski, recorded on Sunday, February 5th, 2023, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, thank you, Diane, and thank you, all of you, for the invitation to join you this morning. The last time I was with your community was in person on the 19th of January, 2020, just prior to the pandemic, which I think none of us had any idea was coming around the corner at the time. We were just kind of rumbling through life, and there we were. So it's nice to be back together again, and I feel like it's actually closer than could be because of a personal visit of Rosie, Andre, Janice, and Paul, who came and visited the Kinbrace community just a few weeks ago. And so the connection feels really good in my heart. Really appreciated their visit. So Diana's kind of got us going on the right track with your own reflection, Diane. And I'm going to start with this question for everybody. Try to remember a time when you were in a new place, or perhaps a new country, a new environment, and you felt like an outsider. Perhaps you didn't know what was going on, you didn't know the language, made you feel awkward at best, and maybe scared spitless at worst. Capture that memory in your mind when you were the new kid on the block, so to speak. What was that time? How did you feel? Hold that story in your imagination as I continue to yatter on here, because I think I really want you to hold that. For almost 25 years, I've had the privilege of living with and walking alongside people seeking refugee protection in Canada. Asylum seekers, as they're called, or refugee claimants, as we call them in Canada, are people who've been forced out of their homes and countries by persecution and war, and they're on a journey toward refuge, on a quest for safety. In 1998, when my wife Tama and I, along with a number of other people from the Grandview Church community in East Vancouver, when we co-founded the Kinbrace community, we knew we were doing something that was much needed. We did the research and found out that there was a great need out there. And that brings me to the title of my reflection today, Why Welcoming Asylum Seekers Matters. Back in 1998, it mattered because there was no dedicated housing in BC for this unique newcomer population. There were few resources and services of support. There was lots of desperation, so many vulnerabilities that these people were experiencing. 25 years later, bringing us to today, there is more dedicated housing, thank God, for refugee claimants, thanks to other organizations popping up like Journey Home and Inasmuch and New Hope. But still, there's a huge, huge need. We barely touch the, I think probably about not even 5% of the housing need for refugee claimants with what we offer. And the services are not enough, and the desperation continues. So welcoming asylum seekers matters because the need is great. One of the most important learnings for me over the years is that the deep why welcoming refugee claimants matters lies beneath the surface of meeting needs. For years, I struggled with understanding why I was doing what I was doing. Not that I was questioning it or wondering if I was doing the right thing. It felt very much the right thing to be doing. But because I felt deeply motivated by some invisible and unarticulated drive, I tried employing different things that would maybe help me figure this out. You know, I tried the human rights approach, the justice approach, and that's all good, but it didn't quite fit who I was and didn't feel like the real reason why I was doing what I was doing. Being a Regent graduate, I worked very hard to create a theological case for why I did what I did. And it was all good, but it felt like a helium balloon kind of floating above me. A nice idea, looked good, pretty, but it didn't really latch into some deeper place. And curiously, it took me 15 years of living and working in the Kinbrace community to connect to the deep why welcoming refugee claimants mattered to me. Along this journey, I found this text, Deuteronomy 10, 14 to 19, so helpful and interesting. In the six verses of this text, the first five are dedicated to reorienting, reminding, and leading by example with and for the Hebrew people. The reorienting speaks or helps them remember that everything belongs to the Lord, the heavens and the earth, and reorienting the Hebrew people. Keep your eyes open to this big reality and keep your eyes free of blinders. And then, of course, reminding them of who they were, that they were loved and chosen. And a bit of a swift kick in the back end here. Smarten up, because you're losing your way and you're losing it so quickly. You are God's people, and your God is the greatest of all. And then, of course, this leading by example, a God who administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving food and clothing. So this is all good and important, but it's kind of like a sermon, like I'm doing right now. It's kind of theologizing. It's floaty stuff, like the helium balloon, and try to anchor onto it. But it's verse 19 that always struck me as kind of gutsy and grounded. And it says, "Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Somehow it's this lived experience of the Hebrew people as slaves, as outsiders in Egypt, that is their best informant and guide, their starting point for why they are to welcome the stranger. The best why it matters to do something is because you know and remember what that feels like, and you're motivated to action. After 15 years working and living in the Kinbrace community, I finally made the conscious and articulated connection that my own experience growing up as a missionary kid, a kid existentially displaced, living between worlds, it was this experience that was and is the invisible driving force that motivates me to get up in the morning and welcome refugee claimants day after day. Now you might be thinking, oh my gosh, Lauren, that's so simple. Like, that's a no-brainer. But it took me a long time to actually connect that, I think because it felt so simple that it felt that it couldn't be the real reason. Sarah was a single mother when she arrived in the Kinbrace community several years ago. She arrived from Colombia, had her infant child with her. She was homeless and in a desperate need of help and support. In fact, she was so traumatized from what she'd experienced in her home country and in getting to Canada. It took months for her to get oriented and to start healing. Her eyes were vacant, and she rarely smiled. I can't speak Spanish, similar to kind of Diane's experience there in, it was Colombia, was it? Yeah. And she didn't know any English, Sarah. So our greetings were always basic, but very from the heart as we passed each other in the yard or in the stairs. In your church bulletin, you'll see a photo of one of the Kinbrace transitional housing units. This is on the second floor of the large house, and there's four of these units around the hallway. Sarah actually lived in the unit next to the one in the photo. But surrounding her, living in that particular unit and in other units, were mainly Kurdish families from Iraq, who kind of fleeing the ISIL situation there. So she had neighbors all around her. One of her routines during the summer months was to come down into the Kinbrace backyard where the community hammock was strung between the cherry tree and the post holding the fire escape. She would lay in the hammock for hours at a time with her baby on her chest, gently rocking, as one of her healing places. About 8 months after arriving, a volunteer who spoke Spanish fluently was tutoring Sarah in English, practicing different phrases, learning words. And one day this volunteer asked Sarah, as part of the conversation, if you were given the opportunity to go anywhere in the world, what country would you visit? The volunteer was kind of expecting, you know, a fancy place like France or, I don't know, England. But without hesitation, Sarah replied, Iraq. And the volunteer was shocked and asked Sarah, why Iraq? Like, it's overrun by war and destruction. It's a mess. People are leaving there as fast as they can. And Sarah replied, oh, it's because the people from Iraq are so kind and generous in welcoming me and my baby. I've learned some of their words. I've eaten their food, which they've shared with me. They've cared for my baby when I needed to sleep. We've cried together in our loss and pain. They're very nice people. I want to go to their country. There was something about Sarah's welcome by the Iraqi families in the apartments surrounding hers on the second floor that touched her so deeply, it was transformative. In the context of the Kinbrace community, I call this the welcome within the welcome. It's the deepest, most genuine, most transformative welcome that comes from the hands and hearts of those who have lived the refugee experience. A welcome coming from those who intimately know the experience of forced displacement and seeking asylum. The source of your best action for and with people who are forcibly displaced is from your own lived experience, however significant or insignificant you might measure it to be. And the more conscious we are of the uncertainty and loss of forced displacement in our own memory, the better for us and the better for those we seek to journey with. This hardly needs mentioning amongst a group of Mennonites. You have it in your DNA. So why does it matter that we welcome refugee claimants, asylum seekers? Because being in their presence, this may sound a little bit selfish, but it amplifies the feedback loop of our memory and it links it to our action, memory of our own quest for safety and belonging, and our action to resolve that need when we see it in others. This moves us beyond the charity that is so prevalent in our society into a transformative space with those experiencing vulnerability. And this connectedness to our own lived experience gives you and me the gift of becoming more fully human and more fully helpful. And fundamentally, it keeps us in touch in that liminal space where the great, mighty, and awesome God who loves the stranger abides. Amen.